بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Inshallah, we are going to start the section on Ma'ad or resurrection. So lesson 41 is about the significance and importance of eschatology, which is that side of religion which deals with end of time, either in this world or the hereafter. First, the author refers to what we said at the beginning of the book, that if we want to have a human life, if we want to have a human life, we need to base our life on some types of understanding. We said we should know our origin, we should know our future, and we should know how to make the best and most out of the present situation for our future. So we have already, alhamdulillah, talked about our origin. We have talked about prophethood, which tells us how to understand what is the best thing to do for our future. Now is the time to talk about our future, about the other life. Every person, in order to make the best choice for what type of life to have, needs to clarify a few issues for himself. For example, is this life the only life that I have, or there is another life that comes after this? If you think that this is the only life that you have, then you try to benefit the most from the pleasures of this world and to have everything in this world. If you know that there is another life, then you will try to understand, is that life more important or this life? What is the relation between this life and the other life? If you think that there is another life but equal to this life, so you don't give it more significance. But if you know that there is an eternal life coming after this life, then you would give much more attention to it. And if you know that what you do in this world would define your situation in the other world, you have to be very careful. Because it's also very important. Because some people think that we have another life, but it doesn't that much depend on what we do in dunya. What we do in dunya doesn't that much affect what we are going to have in the hereafter. For example, you know, there is a discussion in some faith, some religions, about the role of the actions. So some say, if you believe, that's enough. Then even if you commit sins, there is redemption and you don't need to worry. Some, of course, denominations of some religions have this idea, not all of them. But anyway, so if you say that the life in dunya totally determines and defines what type of life we are going to have in future, to the extent that every single action that you do, or even every single word that you utter, or even single intention that you have, would have impact on your life in future, then you become very, very careful. You become very appreciative of every moment of your life here, because this is one moment but can have eternal impact. Okay? So if you know that in every second you can make £1 million, So you don't waste your seconds. Okay? And what you can achieve in Akhirah is not comparable to £1,000 or £1 million or £1 billion. But unfortunately, we sometimes, or most of the time, underestimate what we can achieve in every second of our life for our Akhirah. Now you say, for example, one La ilaha illallah, then one tree will be planted for you in heaven. One salawat, one takbir, everything is important. If God forbids you do zulm, injustice to people, you damage the reputation of people, then it's like sending fire to your home and burning everything that over years you have gained. So, our idea about the other life, whether there is a life or not, whether that life is more important or not, what is the relation between this life and the other life, these are very important issues that can make you able to decide what type of life you want to have. How much you should be concerned about dunya. Dunya is very important. Of course, this dunya is very important. We don't want to say, leave dunya to the people who are the people of dunya. Leave it to, I don't know, emperors and to, I don't know, Kaiser or kings. No, mu'minin should be concerned about dunya. Mu'minin should try to make the situation in dunya better. There is no doubt about it. Dunya is important. But I'm saying that compared to what comes after that, it's not that important. It's very important, but it's not comparable to what comes later. Unfortunately, to get the right balance is not easy. Some people invest everything on dunya. Some people forget dunya and they think they are investing on akhirah. They cannot really invest on akhirah without sorting out dunya. If there is poverty in dunya, if there is ignorance in dunya, if there is, I don't know, illiteracy in dunya, if there are homeless people, okay? If there is drug and, I don't know, addiction and alcohol, I don't know, addiction, and you don't care about it, you cannot say, I am working for my akhirah. You should work for your akhirah by sorting out these problems. This is part of that. Anyway, to get the right balance is very difficult. And as we have in hadith, which is related to Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and some sources to Imam Ali alayhi salam, kun ladunyaka ka'annaka ta'ishu abada, wa kun la'akhiratika ka'annaka tamutu ghada. With respect to your dunya, you should be as if it's going to be permanent life. If you know that you are living here forever, then you become very careful. Okay? For example, if you know that you are going to be very careful, then you will be very concerned about consumption of water or about polluting air. I don't know, about, you know, jungles and, you know, forests and all these things. You will become very careful about planning everything in the best way. But when it comes to Akhirah also, you must plan in the way that you think tomorrow you are going to die. كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا. If you know that tomorrow you are dying, what you do? Yes. You try to prepare yourself. Okay? You try to prepare yourself. Just about maybe 10 days ago, I heard one of the brothers in Birmingham who was not very old, after volleyball, he passed away. He was fit, you know, not old. He went for volleyball after one game, just he went for rest and he passed away. I am sure no one was able to guess this. Or in Iran, we had a few weeks ago, captain of one of the, you know, soccer, you know, football teams, passed away, very young person and very fit, you know. So no one should say, I am okay, and, you know, inshallah, after 40, 50, 60 years, I start planning for my death. Any moment can come, and it can surprise you. So, with respect to dunya, plan as if you are going to be here forever. With respect to akhirah, plan as if you are going to die tomorrow, if not today, maybe today. So, we have to have clear understanding of the hereafter and the next life and what is the relation between this world and the next world so that we can benefit from our life. Ayatollah Misbah says, the belief in the hereafter would have great impact on your personal life, on your life with other people, social life. It will affect societies. Even if all nations believe in the hereafter, it will improve international relations. If you know that you have to answer to God about what you are doing with other nations, then you don't try to, I don't know, loot them or, you know, to enslave them or control them or keep them, you know, deprived. You try to be careful. So it can have impact on personal life, social life, international lives of people. Also, when you believe that there is another life which is greater, you don't quickly become hopeless or despaired, or you think that life is boring, I don't have any interest in this life, and God forbid, you know, you commit suicide or you become depressed. If you think dunya is the only thing that which is there, you may commit suicide, you may, you know, be depressed, you may become despaired. But if you know that here, everything is as a trial, as a test, as a, you know, kind of exercise that people who go for, you know, competitions, you know, for example, those who are, I don't know, wrestlers or, you know, I don't know, weightlifters, you know, they do lots of exercise, they make themselves very tired, but it's valuable for them and it's, you know, nice for them because they know that there is something coming after that. They're ready for all these difficulties. So the difficulties of dunya become for you understandable. You can cope with them and even you can enjoy that I am going through this difficult situation. You know, the people, for example, if you read interviews, okay, of the people who have been very successful. For example, most successful businessmen or most successful scientists, scholars, okay? You see, those who started with terrible life and difficult situation, when they explain their stories, they feel more happiness and, you know, they're more proud of themselves. You know, for example, it says, I was an orphan and I had to, you know, work hard to feed my, I don't know, mother and sisters and brothers. No one was to look after me. You know, I couldn't, you know, go to school. All, everything I did myself. Such person is much more proud of himself and happier than a person says that I was son of a very rich businessman. I inherited money from him and I learned everything from him. He put me in the best school and, you know, he sent, you know, driver every day. And he doesn't feel that he has made any achievement. Yeah? Because everything was planned and ready for him. But the one who was, you know, in a situation which was very difficult feels happier. So the faith in the hereafter has great impact on our life and the way we decide to live. And Ayatollah Misbah says that even if someone has little probability, very small probability in his mind about the hereafter, still he has to take it seriously because it can totally change your life. So if you are not sure, you have to study so that you become sure that either it is going to happen or it is not going to happen. You cannot live in doubt. In the Quran, there are more than 2,000 verses about the hereafter, about the resurrection. More than one third of the Quran directly relates to the hereafter. Many times this comes right after Tawheed. Iman billah and Iman bil yawm al akhir. These two come together. Yeah, many times. There are different types of verses of the Quran. So these more than 2,000 verses of the Quran can be divided into different groups, different sets of the verses. For example, some verses of the Quran talk about the necessity of having faith in the hereafter. آمن بالله واليوم الآخر يؤمنون بالآخرة, for example. Some verses of the Quran, the second set, relates to outcomes of denial of the hereafter. If you don't believe in the hereafter, what happens? Some verses of the Quran refers to the eternal blessings in the hereafter for good people. Some verses of the Quran refers to the punishment for the bad people. Some verses of the Quran relate to the relation between good and bad actions and the consequences in the hereafter. Some verses of the Quran talk about the possibility and indeed necessity of resurrection and replies to the people who thought it's impossible or it's unlikely. For example, the people who used to take bones of dead people in their hand, which were very, you know, old and, you know, sorn out. So they used to say, "Anna yuhyi Allahu hadhihi." How is Allah going to make it again, you know, revived? Or for example, you know, "Wahiya ramim," for example, "Yuhyi al-adama wahiya ramim." So Allah responds to these objections. And also, in some verses, Allah talks about why some people deny the hereafter. You know, for example, in Surah Qiyamah, verses 3 to 5, Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانِ أَلَّن نَجْمَعَ عِظَامَهِ. Does man really think? Maybe he doesn't think like that, but he says, "I think like that." So Allah says, does man think that we are not going to bring together, to collect, to assemble his bones? بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ. We are even able to sort out his fingertips and, you know, this on the, you know, head of the finger here, as you know, it's so carefully designed that you can use it for identification. Yeah, every person in the world is unique, and it's amazing. You know, there are billions of people, and maybe, I don't know, but it's likely that maybe, for example, even if dead people were alive, their fingerprint was different. Yeah, it's not that only alive people's fingerprints. So it means that every human being who is born is born with different fingerprints. Okay? So this shows that there is possibility of that, and people only do what we call istib'ad. Istib'ad, do you know istib'ad? Means they say it's unlikely. They don't have proof. They say it's unlikely that this is going to be revived. There's no proof for them. But we say it's possible, You can look at examples. The one who has created you, including these fingerprints, can create you again. Actually, creating for the second time is easier. When you do something for the second time, it's easier, or for the first time? If you did it for the second time, it's easier. Unless you did it just by chance. You know, sometimes a person makes a very good food, but cannot make it again. Because it was by chance. Yeah? But if you are intelligent and you do things according to knowledge and hikmah, doing the second time is easier. Of course, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the second time and the first time are easy. But if you look at it as a human, you know, experience, and you say, how Allah is going to do this, because you are thinking like a human being, so you should know that for a human being, this is easier to do it second time. Then Quran also says that the reason why people deny, or, you know, they don't want to believe, they don't want to accept, is that they want to be free. بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانِ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. Man wants to open the space before him. Doesn't want to have any restriction. لَيَفْجُرَ means to open up, to unblock what is in front of him. Basically, doesn't want to accept any limitation and restriction. And this is a mistake. Unfortunately, this is a common mistake. That people think their freedom comes when they have no regard for values, for ideas, for faith, for religion. This is a mistake. Because your freedom actually comes when you observe these things. You know, if we give you some regulations for driving, this is to help you to have best experience of driving. Don't think if you violate all the laws and regulations, then you will enjoy driving. If you want to enjoy driving, you should observe the laws and regulations. If you want to enjoy your health, another example. If you want to enjoy your health, listen to doctors. Don't say, I want to be free. Okay, if you want to be free in that sense, then you end up with having cholesterol, diabetes, I don't know, all the difficulties. The values, the regulations that are set up, they are set up for your benefit. Unfortunately, yuridul insan liyafjura amamahu. Man wants to open anything which stands in front of him, you know, to remove. Not knowing that sometimes this is actually helpful. Okay? You know, like what? Like, for example, you are going very fast with the car to a cliff. There's a cliff. Then the people who are authority for the roads, they have put some concrete here so that people don't drop. You say, I don't want anything be in front of me. I want to be free. Okay, then you go to end of the valley. If you want to be free in that sense. So Allah's regulations, these are for your safety and for your success. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. If you don't regard them, okay, you are harming yourself. In the same way that the one who doesn't observe health regulations, traffic regulations. Okay. Another reason why some people don't find it easy, or, you know, they don't want to accept hereafter, is because they have difficulty with everything which is not empirical. they have difficulty with accepting ghaib. They think everyone must believe only in something that can see or touch or smell or taste or hear. Only this. So they don't have only problem with hereafter. They have problem even with God. They have problem with angels. They have problem with all the immaterial things. Even they have problem with the soul being immaterial. Okay, listen, this is lesson 41. Lesson 42 is about the relation between resurrection and the spirit or the soul. Ruh. Dependence of the belief in the resurrection on what? On accepting the existence of immaterial soul or a spirit or ruh. If you say that human beings are only made of physical body, there is no chance of talking about hereafter. Because this body is going to collapse and is going to become like, I don't know, soil, and then another person can be created from this body. You know, this becomes, I don't know, grass, and then maybe a sheep or goat, you know, eats that, this, and then another human being, you know, eats that, it becomes part of a human being. This is famous issue of Shophiya Akelu Ma'kul. If we were just physical bodies, then there was not that much sense of talking about resurrection, eternal life. But if we believe that human beings have both body and soul, or a spirit. Here we use soul and spirit interchangeably. If you believe that we have body and soul, then there is a chance of talking about the resurrection. And when we say we have body and soul, it's not like when we say water is made up of oxygen and hydrogen. No, it's different. If you have oxygen without hydrogen, you don't have water. But the combination of body and soul is different. What makes our reality is our soul. We need body for functioning, as I explained this in another session. Okay? Human soul is immaterial in its essence, and just for functioning uses body. So body is like a dress or a tool for the soul. Okay? And our soul is in need of this body now. But then a time comes that the soul can continue without this body. When you are going to Barzakh, your soul would not need this body anymore. Your soul would belong to another body, which is Barzakhi body, which has shape and form, but no mass. It's not three-dimensional. Okay? When you go, inshallah, to heaven, again, there is body, but that body is lighter than this body. Even although we believe in ma'ad jisman, in corporeal resurrection, but the body in heaven is different from this body in some aspects. Anyway, we don't need to always be with this physical body. And even when we are with this physical body doesn't make our identity. When you say me, it's not because of your body. Mistakenly, we think me is my body. Because from the time you opened your eyes to this world, you have always seen this body. Okay? So you think you are this body. Because you have always seen this. You didn't see anything else. So you think this is you. But this is not you. if you go, inshallah, we will talk about it also next session. If God forbids, you have an accident or a surgery, and one hand or one leg is cut off, or two hands or legs are cut off. Or, you know, in the past, they used to sometimes, you know, cut off both hands and both legs as punishment. Does this mean that now yourself is shorter, is smaller? Or when you, for example, put on some weight, you think yourself is now growing and developed, and when you lose your weight, yourself is, I don't know, shrinking or, you know, becoming less developed? No. Our reality is made by our soul. Scientists tell us that every, I don't know, 6-7 years, all our cells are changed except from the nervous system. All cells die and are replaced. But we are the same people. Even if a person did a crime 60 years ago, for example, if a person made a crime during Second World War, and now they find him, they say he's responsible. Or if someone did something good, a good service, after 50, 60 years, people still praise him, appreciate. Okay? Although body has changed. So, what makes body identical with you is the fact that body is serving the soul, is at the service of the soul. Okay? Ayatollah Misbah refers to a philosophical point about plants, animals, and human beings. Philosophers have the idea that in plants there is a principle, there is something that gives them one identity. For example, if you have a rose flower, if you have, I don't know, sunflower, chemically there are many, many chemicals there. But why you consider it as one thing? You've considered a unit, not just as few things that are put next to each other. Why it grows as a unit? Philosophers say that in plants there is nafs nabati. There is a vegetative soul. And this vegetative soul is responsible for unity of this flower or tree or whatever it is. It is the one that is the cause, the source of life and vital activities for the plant, which is more simple than animal life, but still it has life. And then in animals we have animal soul, and nafsul haywaniyya, animal soul, which keeps, for example, a lion or a wolf or a cat one unit. You don't feel that a cat is just some, you know, chemicals put next to each other. You feel that it forms one unit. Okay? There is unity. That is made by the soul, by nafs. And that nafs is responsible for vital activities, for self-defense, self-protection, reproduction, and all these things. And then in human beings we have an nafsun natiqa. We have human soul which is responsible for thinking, for speaking, And that gives us our identity. Some Muslim philosophers had the idea, and some Greek philosophers had the idea, that only human soul is mujarrad, is immaterial, is abstract. But Mulla Sadra had the idea that even animal soul is abstract and is immaterial, is mujarrad. It's not maddi, it's not material. And he had the idea that even animals have understanding, of course different from our understanding, but they have some kind of understanding, and they have also will. Animals can decide where to go. You know, if for example a cat, okay, is seeing that a car is coming fast, it's not that all the cats react in the same way. They are not like robot. One cat may go to right, another cat may go to left, another may jump, another may scream. The speed, everything can be different. It's the soul inside the cat which decides. And cat is the soul. Even this body is not the cat. It's the like a tool for, because there is abstract, immaterial soul even for animals. And when it comes to human beings, it's much more obvious that our soul is immaterial. We work and interact with body, but we are not the body. Body is different. Inshallah, in the next lesson, we will bring some intellectual arguments to prove immateriality of the soul. But for the time being, remember that we are not composed of body and soul like water. Okay, like for example, I don't know, other chemicals. What we need to have in order to be able to believe in the resurrection is that there is soul in human beings, which is a substance, not accident. In logic, I hope you have studied Johar and Araz. Also in philosophy, you will study, inshallah. Johar is substance and Araz is accident. Johar is what can exist by itself, I mean, without being applied or belong to a subject. For example, you have a substance and then you have properties like color, like softness, like temperature. These are accidents. These accidents cannot exist without a substance. Some people, like empiricists, like, you know, for example, John Locke, David Hume, they didn't believe in substance. But John Locke was saying that we have to assume that substance exists. We cannot prove it, but we have to assume. But Hume said even we don't assume that. We don't believe in existence of substance. And everything is accident, because it's only the accidents that we can understand by our empirical knowledge. But we believe there must be substance. An accident without substance cannot exist. Anyway, you have to believe in human soul. You have to believe that it's a substance that can exist without being in need of a body or, you know, something that it belongs to. And also you have to believe in the fact that soul can survive death. It can continue the life after death. If you don't believe in all these things, then to believe in the hereafter doesn't make sense. Ayatollah Misbah refers to this ayah from Surah Sajda, ayah number 11, about ruh. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qul yatawaffakum malakul maut alladhi wukkila bikum. Tell the angel of death who is commissioned, who is asked to take your life, he receives you fully. Yatawaffakum. Tawaffi means to completely receive something. In the Quran, death is introduced as tawaffi, receiving fully, because your soul is you. If you take someone's soul, you are not taking 60% of him or 70% of him. If you take someone's soul, you are taking 100%. Yeah? If someone takes you out of your dress, has he taken 100% or 90%? 100%, because your dress is not part of you. Yeah? When the soul is taken, Allah says tawaffi. Of course, tawaffi in the Quran is used in several cases. It's not always death. Sometimes tawaffi is used for the people who sleep. Because when you sleep, also your soul is taken, but not completely. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtaha. Allah takes the souls when they die. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And those who have not died when they sleep. When you sleep, your soul has the chance of relaxing. A little bit frees herself from managing and running body. If you have not eaten too much. Otherwise, your soul still has to be busy. So, if your soul is comfortable, your body is in a good condition, not needing, you know, extra care, there is no noise, there is no light, no distraction, okay, no problem, then soul can have some rest. So the soul departs body to some extent, not completely. You don't die, but it's like death. When you sleep, it's like death. Then Allah says, فَيُمْسَكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. Those people who are decided to die when they sleep, the soul will not be released. وَيُرْسَلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. But those who are not supposed to die, their soul is released till their deadline comes. I don't have it here. I'm saying from my memory, but you can. If you don't find it, let me know. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtaha wallati lam yamut fi manamiha fayumsiku allati qada 'alayha al-maut wa yursilu al-ukhra ila ajalin musamma. So if there is something in body or related to body, like noise and this type of things, would not let soul smoothly depart and relax. And also when the soul wants to come back, okay? Again, if there is distraction, disturbance, the soul will go through difficulties. For example, when someone is sleeping, if you shout at him to awaken him, or move him, or I don't know, you put water, pour water on him, then the soul is disturbed. Maybe he can have a mental, you know, problem or headache at least. So it's very important how you let your soul depart and how your soul comes back. Don't use any ring as your alarm, because some rings are not good. Okay? Your soul has to come back smoothly. So, one case of tawaffi is when you sleep. One case of tawaffi is when you die. One case of tawaffi in the Quran is for Jesus. Allah says, "Anni mutawaffika wa rafi'u." Because when Allah took Jesus, Allah took Jesus completely. He didn't die, but Allah took him completely from the earth and raised him. It's not that 10% remained. No, 100% Allah took. So, because our reality is our soul, therefore Allah uses the term tawaffi for death or for sleeping. Surat Zumar, verse 42, for Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamha. Okay, so alhamdulillah, we finished lesson 41 and lesson 42, and inshallah we'll continue with the rest of the discussion, which starts with 43 about arguments for immateriality of the soul. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.